One of your recent articles on Belarus and its ongoing presidential campaign was titled "Belarusians Want Changes, But How Badly?" Have you already answered this question for yourself? If so, can you tell us your answer?
Yes, more or less I've decided that Belarusians do want change, but they're still uncertain about exactly what kind of change they want. I don't think really that this election campaign has altered that. It seems to be more for the public a question of, you know, where are we going? Will the situation get worse if there's an alternative to the current president? And do we really want Russian interference to the extent that it affects Belarus adversely? And I think this is partly a result of official propaganda as well. Overall, I think, you know, in economic terms, the recession has had a limited impact on the population of Belarus. They've not really felt the effects, mainly because of constant government borrowing and an ability to kind of conceal any long-term consequences of the current economic policy. In other words, the Belarusian population has been fairly well shielded from the sort of adverse effects we've seen elsewhere in Europe, like Ireland, Greece, etc. And to that extent, you know, I don't think the election is seen as a pivotal issue for most of the population. It's certainly important, but I don't think it's regarded as something that's going to change the situation irrevocably.
We have the incumbent president and 9 opposition candidates running for the presidential post in Belarus. In your assessment, what is the better strategy for Belarusian opposition? To field a single candidate against Lukashenko, as in 2001 and 2006, or run a crowd of contenders, as now?
Yeah, I kind of debated with this question because I kind of have an ambivalent answer, I think. First of all, if there's a single candidate who has a real possibility of winning and a groundswell of support from the population and is well known among the population, then I think a single candidate would be better. But with a single candidate, the government would be able to focus all its venom, all its propaganda to discrediting this particular candidate. And if one looks after the election as well, in the past, those who've run for election have really been targeted afterwards as well. And I think, therefore, it's more politic to have more than one candidate. However, whether it's a good thing to actually have 9 candidates other than the president is another matter, because I think the public gets very confused as to who is really advocating what. And I've not really seen any clear evidence that there's a candidate who has emerged from this crowd who has really attracted the attention of the electorate so far, and with all due respect to the current candidates.
What do you think about the main issue in these elections? Are they about foreign policy of Belarus or domestic policy or something else?
I think the main issues are a kind of combination, because first of all, the attention has to be focused on the relationship with Russia because of its deterioration. I think that's the most obvious thing. Russia is the most important trading partner. Theoretically, Belarus is still in a union with Russia, although this union has never really amounted to anything. And therefore, that relationship cannot be ignored. And then the question is there a real possibility of some kind of alternative if the relationship with Russia is severed? And the only alternative that is obvious is the relationship with the European Union. So in this sense, yeah, foreign policy has become very important to internal stability. There isn't really a key domestic issue that's prevalent at the moment. Pensions and wages, minimum wages have been raised. You know, this is the sort of thing that happens before any election in most places in Europe, in fact. And Lukashenko is not an idiot. I mean, he's also focused on those as well. But I think he has realized, and I think it's fairly clear that it's the future direction that Belarus is going to take and whether it will in fact move toward Europe. And at the moment, it seems that the Europeans are willing to compromise to quite a remarkable degree with their original 12 points on how to democratize Belarusian society and make it more palatable to the West. The latest thing I saw is that that's been whittled down now to 5 basic points, and the most important being that the conditions of the election are seen as free and fair as far as observers are concerned. So I would say foreign policy is the key thing.
Good. Before we turn to Europe, let's discuss Russia for some time. Lukashenko says that some of his major contenders, like Nikolaev and Sannikov, are supported with money from Russia. In this campaign, Lukashenko is clearly positioning himself as a man who defends Belarus' sovereignty against encroachment by Russia, not by the West, as was the case in previous campaigns. Will Belarusian voters lend an ear to this turnabout? In other words, how ready are Belarusians to look at Russia as Belarus' enemy rather than friend?
Yeah, I don't think Belarusians will look on Russia per se as an enemy. But I think they can be convinced, and maybe are slightly convinced, that the way the Russian leaders are behaving is out of character and really out of sync with the relationship as it should be. And I think that Lukashenko has managed to convey an image of standing up for the rights of the Republic vis-a-vis outside forces. In the past, this was always NATO or the West or the United States, particularly when George W. Bush was the president. Now it's Russia, and you know, payment for oil and gas prices, etc., Russia not behaving rationally toward Belarus, etc. It's a difficult line to take because I think most Belarusians would regard relations with Russia as something necessary for the long term. It's simply impossible to imagine going forward without some kind of a relationship with Russia. Now, to convey this image that Nikolaev and Sannikov in particular are supported with money from Russia, it's not necessarily the purely Russian aspect that matters there. It's the one of outside support, that candidates for president in Belarus are being funded by outside sources. And last time, the target was Western sources, particularly non-official groups supported by U.S. agencies, etc. This time it's Russia. So I don't think that this is necessarily directed as a campaign against Russia as a state, but Russia as a supplier of illegal funds for members of the opposition. And incidentally, I don't know to what extent this is true, particularly with regard to Sannikov. I know Nikolaev has been supported at least by Belarusian funds coming from Russia, whether or not from Russia itself. So, you know, if there's an element of truth in it as well, I think it's a more effective propaganda ploy.
Judging by propaganda signals coming from Moscow, the Kremlin is not against replacing Lukashenko with someone more susceptible to Russian influence. What is your assessment of the current situation in Belarus-Russia relation? What about the gas price by the end of this year?
I'll talk about the gas price second. I think, first of all, the signals are that the relationship is in difficulty right now. And it's got to a certain degree where it may be difficult for the leaders of Russia ever to accept Lukashenko again as a friendly neighbor. And I think this actually goes both ways. Both sides have really indulged in fairly outrageous propaganda against each other, particularly Medvedev, who was more reticent at first. It seemed to be Putin that was doing most of the arguing. But now both leaders are clearly dissatisfied with Lukashenko as the leader. Having said that, I don't think Russia has a candidate in this election. None of the leaders really are are considered by Russia to be likely to succeed in the short term. And the last thing Russia wants is to be seen as interfering in the election campaign. But returning to the gas prices and the longer-term relationship, I think that the Kremlin is being patient and that it recognizes that there may not be change on 19th of December or whenever the results are announced in early January. It won't likely happen then. But within the next 6 months to 2 years, there is much more likelihood that there could be a change as a result of pressure through other means, one of which will be renegotiating gas prices, which I think are likely to go up again at the end of the year. So in other words, Russia can wait out the campaign, having decided it no longer really wishes to deal with Lukashenko, and then put more pressure on in other ways, which is fairly easy for them to do, and wait carefully and see who will emerge as a possible leader. Most likely, I would say, someone within the current administration or the current government of Belarus, who they've dealt with before and who is considered to be reliable and has some standing with the electorate.
Let's turn now to Europe. Europe's former engagement on the side of the opposition is notably absent this time. What we actually see are attempts of EU politicians to court Lukashenko and persuade him into making these elections more palatable to Brussels. Let's just remember Radek Sikorski and Guido Westerwelle EU message to Lukashenko. We will give you €3 billion for the vote we can accept as democratic. Do you think the EU in 2010 is ready to recognize Lukashenko's another landslide win and host him in Brussels?
Yeah, it's a very good question, and it's certainly the one that I've spent most time thinking about. And it seems to be, you know, there are mixed signals from the European Union. I think the European Union is now recognizing that perhaps Lukashenko is still going to be around for the short term at least, and therefore has kind of hoped that it will be possible to deal with him if only he will meet certain conditions, then they will give him, you know, €3 billion or whatever. However, it's, you know, it's one thing to say that, and it's another to accept some kind of landslide victory that's not really credible given opinion polls. I mean, I've seen a number of opinion polls. The president's own opinion poll, of course, gives him around 70% today, which seems to me farcical. Most of the polls have suggested somewhere between 30 and 45% popularity. And that is from a sample population, and one could say from a sample population, maybe 70, 80% of them will actually vote. So in other words, we're talking really at something in the region of 35% popularity, which as in the past would not be enough for a victory in the first round by any real logic. So if the election is a sort of another elegant victory with, you know, 83, 85% of the vote, that puts Brussels in a real quandary, because there's no way anyone with any insights could accept that as a free and fair decision. If on the other hand, I'm not saying this would happen, but if on the other hand the vote count was considerably less, say 50 to 55%, then the Europeans might well say, well, this seems to be a reasonable result given what we've seen. Lukashenko's obviously still popular. None of the other candidates has really emerged to threaten him. And therefore, maybe we'll accept this result, particularly if no violations have been seen by the OSCE and others as observed as during the campaign, because Russia may decide that it doesn't recognize the campaign as free and fair. So that, I think, is partly Lukashenko's dilemma too, because if he accepts a decision, and I'm cynical enough to think that there's no such thing as a free and fair vote anyway in a Belarus election, but if Lukashenko agrees that his vote total officially will be announced as 50 to 55, then it also looks to the public at large like his popularity is plummeting. And therefore, I think from his perspective, that is a problem too. You know, why is my total so much lower than it was last time? And remember last time, the 83% he claimed was actually artificial and made lower so as not to embarrass the public. So I think that's where we are right now. The European Union is more likely to recognize some kind of winning margin in that 50 to 55 range, but not some outrageous figure as per last time.
Let's go a step farther. What should the EU do in the first place in the event Lukashenko wins the elections and his relations with the Kremlin deteriorate still further?
Well, I think this is what is predicting the future, as I think both these things are going to happen. Then the European Union really has to make a decision whether it's going to place any kind of shackles on Lukashenko at all, and whether it's even worthwhile to do that. If he's found to have won the election by using some kind of subterfuge or cheating, then there's no real reason why the European Union should develop closer relations. But I think it's already decided to do that. I think as far as Brussels are concerned, Belarus is now seen as part of Europe, a neighbor state, and in many ways a stable neighbor state, unlike some of its neighbors, particularly Moldova and Ukraine. And therefore, a decision to maintain some kind of dialogue with Minsk is necessary as far from the European perspective. And therefore, I think they will do that. And there will be a period of negotiation with the presidency of what he intends to do and whether, you know, his society will be democratized, whether Belarus will open up to foreign businesses in a better way, more open way, etc. So it's more or less deja vu. It's the same kind of situation as now. But then when you're talking about 3 billion euros and tremendous EU commitment to the future of Belarus, to me that seems a little unrealistic right now, given the economic situation in the European Union. But certainly I think there will be more communication between Brussels and Minsk. And sort of wariness of where the relationship with Moscow is going to go.
Let's now turn to America. What do you think about Washington's perception of the current political situation in Belarus?
Yes, I've had this question up on my computer now for 6 days, and only yesterday did I see a statement from Washington about praising Belarus for its attitude on decommissioning nuclear weapons and generally supporting international peace. In terms of democracy, though, I don't think a lot has really changed. And the current administration in Washington is still waiting for more signals from Belarus before it really opens up properly again. So I think the standoff will continue for the short term. I also think that for Washington, relations with the larger powers are more important than with the smaller ones, and the relationship with Russia has become paramount. And therefore, to the extent that Belarus has fallen out with Russia, this also, I think, is not a signal that Washington is going to really develop close relations. So in other words, I think the onus is on Belarus to try and improve this relationship and to demonstrate to Washington that the situation has changed. So the United States is not in the same position as the European Union, where it's dealing with a border state, and the attitude toward Russia is considerably different as well, and I would say increasing, actually, rather than decreasing. So the situation has changed considerably during the Obama administration, and I don't see any short-term solution to this. I don't see Washington changing its views in the same way that the Europeans seem to be doing.
So you don't think that this declaration signed yesterday by Hillary Clinton and Sergei Martinov is a beginning of a way out of this Belarusian-American standoff?
It might be, and I'm just not I just haven't sort of figured it out properly yet. You know, I kind of need to look at it in more detail and see what happens in the next 2 or 3 weeks or even 6 weeks. For me, it's just a little bit soon to make a decision as to exactly what it signifies. So that's something I could probably answer in the future, but I don't think right now.
Professor Marples, this interview is a rare opportunity when listeners of RFURL programs in Belarus can obtain a first-hand account of what the Canadian government think about Lukashenko and his regime. We know that your government once denied refueling for Lukashenko's plane, but hardly anything else about its good or ill will toward the Belarusian president. Can you tell something more about this issue?
Yes. The Canadian government, the current Canadian government has taken a fairly strong stance on democracy. And although Belarus is not really close to Canada like Ukraine is, I mean, Ukraine is close because we've got such a large diaspora here, and therefore the attitude to Ukraine is considered pivotal. And there's not that kind of pressure on the Canadian government with regard to Belarus, but it's taken a very firm stand on Belarus. And it's a stand of denouncing its attitude on human rights, the disappearance of politicians, the lack of free and fair elections, more or less continuing in the same vein that the United States did under George W. Bush. I don't think this has changed recently at all. And the attitude is that, Belarus is not going in the right direction today. And, of course, we don't have the same kind of preoccupation with Belarus that the Europeans do. It's not something that is in the headlines on a regular basis. So the country is not very well known to most Canadians. But it is a little bit known, and if it's known at all, it's known because of Lukashenko and this image of being the last dictator in Europe. So in a way, I think the government has taken a fairly straightforward position. And although it's unusual for governments to take some kind of ideological stance or human rights stance vis-a-vis any specific country, because they can always be measured one against the other, it seems that this attitude has not changed in recent times. And the Canadian government has not been convinced by the measures taken in Belarus over the past couple of years, such as the release of political prisoners, or allowing some newspapers to appear in public from opposition sources, or even as now, a more open election campaign where candidates are free to wander around the streets of major cities carrying national flags, etc. It doesn't, those kind of intricate details don't, so far, have much impact on the way the Canadian government regards Belarus, which is something that is way, way beyond the time necessary for changes. So there's a kind of impatience, I would say, about the attitude to Belarus. Having said that, the preoccupation now is back with Ukraine, because there the situation was supposedly resolved 6 years ago and seems to have reversed itself again. So this strong stand on Belarus will now probably be measured, alongside its attitude to Ukraine as well, as dealing with troublesome states, or rather states that are led by troublesome leaders with whom one has to deal, but who are actually seen as relics from the past.
Okay, David, thank you very much for your interview.